White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer has reportedly resigned. Former Wall Street financier Anthony Scaramucci has been appointed White House Communications Director, and he'll have to handle the latest headlines. According to the Washington Post, President Trump is looking into whether he can pardon aides, family members, even himself.
And Donald Trump's newly shaken up legal team is said to be trying to discredit FBI investigators. Trump advisor Kellyanne Conway was on Fox News this morning, and she said that members of Mueller's team have donated money to Democrats, Hillary Clinton, and Barack Obama.
It's relevant that people know what the motivations are. And that is not an attack on the team. That is what's fair is fair.
And according to Bloomberg News, Special Counsel Robert Mueller is now looking into President Trump's personal finances, something the president said at the beginning of the week would be a lined cross. So not much going on, Lisa, this week.
Let's
bring in our Friday roundtable. We want to start with Abby Phillip, White House reporter for The Washington Post. And Abby, start with this news being reported on many outlets that Sean Spicer is gone. ABC's Jonathan Carl says he went to Spicer's house to ask about Scaramucci being hired, and Spicer slammed the door in his face. These can be fraught times. So tell us, first of all, who is Scaramucci and what does the White House want him to do?
That's right. So the Washington Post has also confirmed that Spicer has resigned in the wake of Scaramucci's appointment. Anthony Scaramucci is a Wall Street hedge fund manager. He is someone who actually is well-liked by the Trump family, by Ivanka and Jared. He's been a close ally of Trump's throughout the campaign and the transition. And on multiple occasions, he thought he was coming into the White House, and only now has he finally gotten the job. But the problem is for Sean Spicer that bringing in Anthony Scaramucci as a communications director essentially gives him a new boss, as Sean Spicer had for a long time wanted that post to be underneath him. And with Scaramucci coming in, it creates a new power center that he was clearly so unhappy with that he was willing to resign over it. We were told by multiple sources that Spicer, along with Chief of Staff Reince Priebus, were very upset about the possibility of Scaramucci coming into the White House, objected to it last night when it became clear that it was about to happen. And this morning in a 10 a.m. meeting with President Trump, they lost that fight.
Yeah. Well, we want to bring into the conversation now Jim Vandehei, who's a veteran Washington journalist, co-founder of the news organization Axios. He also co-founded Politico. Jim, I wonder if you can tell us what you think Donald Trump is going to expect from Scaramucci that he wasn't getting from Sean Spicer.
If you look at what's happened over the last 24 hours, really over the last several months, the president fully anticipates an escalated war against Robert Mueller and assumes that this investigation will ultimately lead the charges, at least for some people around him. And so what he wants on his legal team and what he wants on his communications team is he wants junkyard dogs. Mm. He wants fighters. He wants people who will let him do things in his own improvisational way, which typically troubles both communicators and troubles lawyers, and are willing to go to the mat on TV, on radio, on the internet. Like, that's what he wants, and he feels very comfortable with his new communications director. He's fine diminishing the role of some of the lawyers that have been diminished in the last couple of months and bringing around people who will do things his way.
Well, and Anthony Scaramucci, he really does have that scrappy fighter, and yep. There seems to be a real fight shaping up. Let's take a look at that. The president gave that stunning interview to the New York Times this week. He was asked by a reporter if Special Counsel Mueller would cross a red line if Mueller investigated his, Trump's, personal finances. Here's his answer.
I would say yes. Yeah, I would say yes. By the way, I would say I mean, it's possible that it's a condo or something. So, I sell a lot of condo units and somebody from Russia buys a condo. Who knows? I don't make money from Russia.
Well, that was earlier in the week, and now there's reporting that Mueller is investigating President Trump's personal finances. Jim, just a quick response to that. What happens to Trump's what appeared, sounded like a threat about crossing a line?
The president doesn't decide what the special prosecutor investigates. Robert Mueller has license to look at anything related to Russia. And any responsible prosecutor is going to look at both was there meddling in the election, but also was there an improper relationship with Russia? To do that, you have to look at the financial dealings, because you have to figure out, would there have been incentive by Donald Trump or by Jared Kushner or Paul Manafort, by anyone else? Did they have business dealings that might have influenced decisions they made during the campaign or made after winning the presidency? And the president knows they're digging through his tax returns. He knows they're looking at every deal he did over the last 10 to 20 years. He knows they're doing the same thing for Jared Kushner. And my understanding from inside the White House is people believe this is ultimately going to lead to charges, at the very least, against some people around Donald Trump. And Donald Trump anticipates that. His lawyers have told him that. And that's why he gave that improvisational interview to the New York Times, and why he's willing to take on a fight that very few people would take on, and do it in a style that I've never seen any other president or even any other politician take on, which is, I don't care what my lawyers say. I don't care what communicators say. I'm going to take this fight directly to the American people and believe that the 40% of people who are with me for the last 13, 14 months are going to stay with me regardless of what I do and regardless of how much the media complains about it, whines about it, criticizes it.
Abby, Attorney General Jeff Sessions was asked this week if he is a zombie attorney general, meaning, I think, lame duck attorney general, after the president told the Times that he wouldn't have hired Sessions if he had known that Sessions would eventually recuse himself from the Russia investigation. What is the state of mind at the White House, and what are you finding out from people who you speak with there? Is this now, 6 months in, an inflection point in the White House and moving forward? What are you hearing and what are you seeing?
Well, it did come as a surprise to some people in the White House that Sessions didn't really take Trump's comments as a warning shot, which it essentially was. And he's decided to stay on despite what I think in any other administration would have been a comment that would have almost immediately led to that person's resignation. But it also reflects this idea among Trump's inner circle that this is par for the course for this particular boss that they have, who commonly goes out in public and will criticize them and will air out his disputes with them. And the people who stick around in spite of that are the ones who are really used to being around Trump and understand what it's like to be in his inner circle. And beyond their relationship really souring, which it definitely has. I mean, Jeff Sessions used to be as close as you could get to President Trump in terms of people who are from Washington. But now he's in charge of perhaps one of the most important cabinet positions that Trump has. And I think that they are still simpatico on the ideology when it comes to immigration and when it comes to border security and that sort of thing.
Pretty much
and,
on everything except for
on
the
everything. Exactly. And in that respect, I think they can perhaps continue. But it is it just depends on how much longer or how much more intense Trump's unhappiness is with Sessions. And I think that this conflict came to a head. You know, they did have a conflict over it weeks ago, and Sessions tendered his resignation and Trump didn't accept it. So so that's where we are at this point.
Well, in the middle of all of this week, I mean, every day we've been hearing something that White House aides, Trump administration aides and lawyers are investigating the investigators that Robert Mueller is hiring for his investigation, seeing if they could find conflicts of interest, that President Trump has asked about pardons. To comment, Jim, on the fact that this administration is leaking like a sieve.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like it. I've covered several presidencies, and this White House, the people around Donald Trump, are about 1,000 more times more accessible than any White House staff I've ever seen. They give you almost a play-by-play of what's happening internally. The truth is, Donald Trump doesn't care. As long as you don't make yourself bigger than him, he doesn't mind leaking. He likes the show. He thinks it's a good distraction. So he doesn't mind that. The stories this morning, one part of it is not as problematic as you might think, this idea that they're looking at whether or not there's conflicts of interest among Robert Mueller and his people. Listen, Bill Clinton's team did the exact same thing when you had a special prosecutor, Kenneth Starr, looking into his past. So that part is sort of standard practice.
Well,
investigating and talking about pardons for yourself, you don't ask or investigate a pardon when you don't have anything to hide or you don't fear that you have something to hide. So the fact that he's openly musing about whether he can pardon himself and whether he can pardon others, and he can pardon whoever heck he wants with the presidential power.
Well, his backers have said he was just curious about it. Look, I just have to ask about John McCain, finding out this week that he is fighting brain cancer, and that comment that he made in 2008, responding to a voter who said that then-candidate Barack Obama was an Arab. He immediately put her down. That's gone viral. And some are saying, including CNBC host John Harwood, Abby, that if he could come back, he could be the one to make fighting Trump his legacy. Just quick thoughts on that.
Well, you know, I think that Trump is really dealing with a situation that is very much out of his control and is looking for any possible opportunity to stop it. So I get the sense that there's almost nothing that is off the table for this president and this White House. And I also think that
we got to leave it at that. I'm sorry. Yeah. I put you in a terrible position there. You know, huge thought at the end. But our thoughts we want to convey are with John McCain. Abby Phillip, White House reporter for The Washington Post. Jim Vandehei, CEO and co-founder of Axios, on a week where, nothing's happened again. Thanks to you both.
Thanks.